Introduction to the 2002 edition. Still a Steal, an introduction by Al Giordano. He just had the idea it would be a good little gag to liberate this book from the bookstores, and we put Steal This Book on the back cover of Woodstock Nation, and the Random House sales manager went bananas. We can't do this. The crazier he went, the more Abby loved it. At that point, Abby decided that his next book was going to be called Steal This Book, and that's at least part of the reason that Random House refused to publish it. Also, they had a few problems with instructions for how to blow up things. I don't know if they ever noticed that the little Random House logo on Woodstock Nation was the little Random House being blown up. Chris Cerf, editor, Random House, from Steal This Dream by Larry Sloman. Abby Hoffman was 100% into anything he did. There was no such thing as halfway with Abby. A task was either something worth going to jail for, worth dying for, or it was not worth doing. Abby had the same approach to writing books. He wrote the introduction to Steal This Book from the Cook County Jail in 1970, from where he boasted that he was learning the only rehabilitation possible, hatred of oppression. Of all his 7 published works, Steal This Book is the most widely read, the most notorious. Revolution for the Hell of It, Woodstock Nation, or The Autobiography of Abby Hoffman may be better literature, but Steal This Book was, and remains, the most memorable of his written works for the scandals it caused. It was also probably his most effectively radical creation because it was, largely, a how-to book. The title is 90% of the work, lamented the late independent filmmaker Jack Smith, but Abby would somehow find another 110%, and that's what he put into Steal This Book. It was a survival guide, exhaustively researched, to finding free food, free clothing and furniture, free transportation, free land, free housing, free education, free medical care, free communication, free play, free money, free dope, to list the opening chapter titles. A lot of Steal This Book seems today, 3 decades later, so basic. Today, any 15-year-old knows how to do a lot of these things. And part of why they know it is because Abby didn't just push the envelope, he ripped it open and declared everybody the winner of the treasures inside. I was one of many early teens who used that book to make free long-distance telephone calls, to set off firecrackers and M-80s as time bombs with a simple wind-up alarm clock and some wires, and to otherwise cause trouble. Above all, Steal This Book was utilitarian and working class. It dealt with the basic necessities of life. How to eat, to find clothing and shelter, and we accept this, as Abby did, as a basic human instinct, to have fun. The press usually refers to Abby as a 60s radical. His most famous book came out in the 70s, and his masterpiece, Political Organizing Work, occurred in the 80s. And it associates Abby, accurately, with the best-known causes of that era, particularly civil rights, opposition to the Vietnam War, and the defense of the youth counterculture that today is thoroughly marketed to death by the same forces that once opposed it. Less spoken of today is the economic theory he laid out with his first pamphlet, titled Fuck the System, and in his first book, Revolution for the Hell of It. There must be, said Abby, a better means of exchange than money. And that's what Steal This Book focused on. How to live free. He found cracks in the system, and he spotlighted them. Some long-accepted facts of life, that teenagers must obey their parents or other authorities, for example, simply fell by the wayside. Other cracks, discovered by Abby and his pals, were later sealed up by the system. Techniques revealed here for hacking public telephones have long been technologically corrected and thus are obsolete. For that reason, many, but not all, of the tips in Steal This Book are obsolete. Hitchhiking, anyone? Ripping off automats? Anyone under 30 know what an automat is? Draft dodging? Yes, there was a military draft to avoid back then. There's not one today. Thank you, Abby. So when you get to the points of the book that are merely pointing out the obvious, and you proclaim, "Jesus, he's telling us how to make a bookcase out of cinder blocks and lumber? How lame is that?" That is the precise moment to pay attention. On those pages, we see just how far behind American society was only a few decades ago. Kids didn't have the internet then to seek out the information that their parents and the media didn't want them to have. They didn't even have 100 cable TV channels. They had 3 television networks in the major markets, and maybe 1 or 2 in rural areas. It was an atmosphere of total control. There was no Bart Simpson. But there was Abby Hoffman, without whom Bart would not have been possible. And he was a living, breathing person who got clubbed over the head, spied on, infiltrated, outlawed, imprisoned, exiled, forgotten, rediscovered, forgotten again. And then, as Artaud wrote about Van Gogh, he was suicided by society. And a whole hell of a lot of what we take for granted today as basic rights are here and present because real human beings fought for them and were persecuted for waging that fight. His era was full of heroes, but none were as effectively heroic as Abby. To read Steal This Book in the 21st century is an historical adventure. Thus, a little historic context may be helpful. When he wrote Steal This Book, Abby had been on trial in Chicago in a conspiracy case stemming from demonstrations outside the 1968 Democratic National Convention in what the American Civil Liberties Union later called the political trial of the century. He was America's most widely recognized radical, a media personality, an emblem, a symbol, a myth, and still, I may be giving away his secret weapon here, a human being. Obviously so to anyone who encountered him. He wasn't bigger than life, or better than it. He was, in a word, alive. And this was better and more exciting than the walking death that most public figures offered then and now. Abby recounts a dialogue between him and Random House publisher Jason Epstein when he was preparing to write Steal This Book. He described it in the May 1974 issue of Harper's Magazine in an essay titled "Steal This Author," in which the master of the ripoff learns that anything he can do, big business can do better. Abby recounted that Epstein roared with laughter at the idea of writing a book no one would publish. He had studied society, Abby wrote of Jason. He knew how fame was bottled and that infamy was even more saleable in the fanciful world of pop politics. The dialogue part is repeated here. Jason, what book are you going to do next? Abby, Jason, I'm going to write a book no one will publish. I'm going to call it Steal This Book, and it'll be a handbook for living free, stealing, and making violent revolution. I'm going to take on the entire publishing industry. I want to test the limits of free speech. Jason, you'll lose, Abby. Everybody does in the end. Abby, we'll see. The result is now legend. After being rejected by 30 publishers, the book finally made it into print when Barney Rossett's Grove Press agreed to publish Steal This Book. And it was one of the most smashing successes in publishing history. Abby turned the publishing of Steal This Book into a public teach-in on the entire industry of bestsellers. Grove estimated that half the book sales were made in New York City, wrote Abby in his Harper's piece. In Pittsburgh, no stores carried the book. In Philadelphia, only one store did, and it charged $1 more than the cover price. No books were to be found in Boston when I took reporters on a tour. None in the San Francisco Bay Area either. The entire Doubleday chain of bookstores was boycotting the book. Vice President George Hecht stated, "We don't want to tell people to steal. We object only to the title. If it was titled How to Live for Free, we'd sell it." Dotson Rader then reviewed it for the New York Times Book Review during John Leonard's disobedient tenure as editor, even as the Times refused to accept advertising for Steal This Book. "I clipped the review, wrote a check, and sent the Times its own review for an ad," recalled Abby. The ad was rejected by the Times, that self-defined cathedral of freedom of the press. Today, the lid is back on the book publishing industry. I can hardly find a book worth shoplifting in the chain stores. It's all formula. But if you like books, or once liked them, even if you end up paying for the new edition of Steal This Book, you're getting an authentic book. And that, in this age of corporate tyranny, is a steal. Al Giordano, Somewhere in Mexico, November 2001. Abby Hoffman called Al Giordano the best under-30 community organizer in America. They worked closely together in New England, Pennsylvania, upstate New York, the Great Lakes region, Nicaragua, and elsewhere throughout the 1980s. In a landmark 2001 New York Supreme Court case, Giordano won First Amendment protections for all internet journalists. Living in Mexico for the past quarter century, reporting on the drug war and social movements around the world, he publishes a newsletter on organizing and politics and its online platform, organizeandwin.com. Reach him at al@organizeandwin.com.